It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here on 720 WGN. Now, everything is coming full circle right now. Watching the Hawks game the other night, and I see this guy in the shoot the puck competition who's pretty doggone good at getting the puck in the hole. And it turns out to be D.B. Sweeney. So I'm thinking, look at this guy. He played Shoeless Joe. He's an athlete. Maybe we should have him in the studio. And it just so happens he is also in Chirac, which officially opens today, playing Mayor McLeod. And now look, D.B. Sweeney's in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys have about the best piece of real estate in Chicago.
Isn't
right?
It pretty great? Good view, isn't it? It's a pretty good view. How exciting. I know what a...
I want to talk shoot the puck.
Go on, do shoot the puck.
I couldn't believe how good you were. Is this because of your role as Doug Dorsey, where you were Olympic hockey player turned figure skater? Did that help you make that shot?
You know, it's a little bit of a tricky thing. Even people that play hockey, you get out there and they put you on a mat. And you never really have a hockey stick in your hand when you're on a mat. So that part is a little bit of an adjustment. I think that's
and
why
you
a lot
switched
of people,
sticks. We noticed that.
Yeah, that was a little inside joke to my buddy Pat Foley. He and I had to play golf a few times and you know, checking the wind, changing clubs. So
he said
I don't
that.
Know how many people. Oh, did he say
he
it?
Did
oh,
say
good,
it.
Good.
It was pretty funny.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and you got the first one, I say went in, but I don't know if it went completely through.
This is where we need video review and shoot the puck. I mean, you can't have these things decided by, you know, by human error. I thought it was in, too. But.
I did, too. Yeah. Next one, right through the hole.
I figured, make no doubt on the next one.
But if the Hawks are down a winger, you don't live that far away. They could call you. You'd show up in time.
You know, that's why I wore number 65. I feel like I could serve that role, you know, sort of the old man version of that role. Just sort of run around, hit people, and stay in the way.
I just bought... Shaw's jersey for my 13-year-old for his birthday yesterday at the Blackhawks store. So Shaw's was not a bad one to go with.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. You can't really go wrong with 19 or 88 or number 2.
81.
There's a lot of numbers.
Rosa,
I mean, it's we got Duncan a lot.
Keith. They got more stars than I think any other team in the NHL, that and appealing stars.
Yes.
And, you know, Kane's doing right now, obviously, is historic.
Diamond guys, on the ice.
How about that, huh?
He's up to 21, beat Bobby Hall now.
Tied Bobby Hall.
Yeah. Eddie O was not, I mean, he was actually cordial about it when he said that, you know, okay, yeah, he beat my record.
You know, the thing about having a record like that is people don't really talk about it that much until somebody gets close to it.
You're
right. So I didn't even realize it. You know, Eddie had a great career, and he's got a great career now. So, but the sky's the limit for Kaner, because I felt like that goal that night against Minnesota was the lucky one that you need in a streak like that.
Right.
I mean, he kind of fanned on the shot, and it still went in.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the kind of one where if he didn't get one that night, he could go another 11 or 12 games now, and then he would have two great streaks. But I don't know. I don't think he's going to catch Gretzky at 51. But
51.
Don't never say never.
Never say never, 51. Right? You never know. Because Taves is actually not hot. If Taves got hot on the power play, Kaner could get some points that way.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know, I wouldn't bet against him.
And Gretzky has, if you look at the all-time streaks for points, he has 3 out of the top 4. Wayne Gretzky by himself.
It's nuts when you look at his stats. I mean, I was looking at Ovechkin recently because, you know, people say, are any of Gretzky's records touchable? And the goals record, if Ovechkin stays at the level he's at for the next 8 years or 9 years, he's going to get close to Gretzky's goals.
Mm-hmm.
But Gretzky has more assists than anybody else has points. So it's kind of an amazing thing.
I don't think Gretzky is a human. I think he's been cloned and sent from you know, some other planet.
Oh, very possibly.
That's an interesting theory.
Possibly.
You are an actor because of a sports injury, aren't you?
Well, I dream, like many kids in America, of playing baseball. And my dream was to play left field for the Boston Red Sox. And that didn't work out. So I switched over to acting. And I'm glad I don't know that I ever would have gotten to the big leagues. And so I kind of got near the big leagues here in showbiz. So I think maybe I made the right call.
So knowing how much you wanted to be a baseball player, then you're cast as Shoeless Joe and Eight Men Out. What was that like? How exciting was that for you?
That was a great, great opportunity, because at that time, the funny thing is they had asked me to do Bull Durham to play the Nuke LaLoosh and to play Shoeless Joe at the same time. I actually got the offer for Eight Men Out first, and I started learning how to hit lefty, and then they offered me the Bull Durham thing, and I thought, oh, man, that's going to be great. And those two movies, I think, are the first two movies, because I thought Kevin Costner was tremendous.
He was great.
He was so believable. I mean, a great swing. He looked like a catcher. He had everything down pat. I think he's tremendous. But before that, you had Pride of the Yankees. You had the movie with De Niro and Michael Moriarty, Bang the Drum Slowly.
Yeah.
And those guys, Gary Cooper and De Niro, there's no better actors, but they're terrible baseball players. And
you're leaving somebody out, Anthony Perkins and Fear Strikes Out.
I mean, this is
not that good.
Yeah, and so the bar was low.
Yeah.
And I thought that for all the baseball fans that used to complain about that stuff, here's a moment where I could be the first guy to really be believable.
Yeah.
And so that was really fun and exciting. And, of course, Costner's movie came out first, and he beat me to the punch. But it's, you know, it was still, I'm very proud to have been in 8 Men Out, and so many great associations for me now living in Chicago.
Such a great movie, really.
All right, so explain something to me. I know that the trailer came out for Chi-Raq. I watched it. I know it's based on that play, which I always forget. And I know
Lysistrata.
Thank you. And so I was kind of surprised when I first saw the trailer because I thought, this is not what I expected. But I am really intrigued, and I want to see this. We talked to Harry Lennox yesterday, who was explaining, you know, life goes on despite all the bad stuff that's going on in the city. They had the red carpet premiere, but now today is the day where it opens.
In theaters everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, Harry actually, and I have all my scenes with Harry, and he, what a great guy and great actor, and anybody that watches Blacklist or any Chicago theater fans already know that, but, you know, nationally he's got a higher profile than for many years he had by being a local Chicago guy, and he plays the police commissioner and I play the mayor, and we're both sort of political opportunists, and our function in the story is to be a little bit of comic relief, which you need when you have such a heavy subject.
Sure.
And I, you know, I've said before that I thought the controversy over the title was a fake one because, you know, I mean, the real obscenity is the murders that happen every day and every weekend, especially in the summer. You know, it heats up and the rates go, the murder rates go even higher. But, you know, the obscenity is that we haven't done something to take care of this violence.
Right.
And it's very localized in certain neighborhoods. And so whether or not you call it Chi-Raq or whether you call it Bloody Chicago, whatever you want to call it, the reality is that the murder rate here is disproportionate to the population, and it's a problem.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know the answer. I don't know anybody knows the answer, or if there is a simple answer. But let's talk about it. Let's try to figure out how to save some lives somehow.
But when you say the controversy over the title may have been made up, who would have benefited from that? Only the movie company would have benefited,
well,
really.
No, I mean, I think there's certain aldermen that got their name in the paper that were having a slow week.
And
I think obviously Mayor Emanuel, I think, misplayed this terribly because he could certainly, if he had gotten behind this thing and this week, you know, if he had been getting some good gloss from Spike Lee and company,
could have helped him.
But, you know, I mean, that's just the way things go. I think that people using the film incentives, especially as political, you know, gamesmanship is a really bad thing for Chicago actors and directors and producers and the city. You know, bringing movies into your town or into your state is one of the few clean industries, and it's a completely a net positive because
sure.
We shot in the Armory on the South Side, and I guarantee you 3 years from now people are going to fly into Chicago. Spike Lee fans are going to fly in here and say, let's go see the Armory.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to buy a plane ticket, they're going to buy a hotel room, they're going to go down there, they're going to have lunch somewhere on the South Side.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to, you know, and it's just a net economic positive. So I think anytime people play politics with that and say it's you know, welfare for millionaires, they're misreading the whole thing, because Spike Lee came down here and hired 200 people, like at least 100 of them, on the South Side of Chicago. These aldermen bitching about the title of the movie, how many jobs did they create on the South Side last summer?
Right.
So I think it was really a fake opportunistic controversy.
And to say it gives Chicago a bad name, we've already got that bad name. It's not like this is going to change anyone else's mind.
The murder rates are the murder rates, and it's a tragedy, and that's the real issue that people should focus on, not what Spike Lee wants to call his movie.
What was the mood on the set?
You know, I did one other movie with Spike called The Miracle of St. Anna. We were in Tuscany, Italy for a month, and that was sort of wonderful. And Spike was trying to, you know, he's a very focused guy, and he wanted to call attention to the service of the Buffalo Soldiers in World War II, which is an undertold story, and so that was his intention there. But in this case, he was very much about, we're going to call attention to this problem. And every day we'd get our call sheet, you know, the marching orders for filming for the day, and it would have the tally of the day before's murders and woundings and the shootings. And so there was very much a sense of, like, we're going to try and do something good here, which is a very dangerous thing when you're in the movie business, because, like they say, if you want to send a message, call Western Union. You know, don't make them.
Right, yeah.
And so there was a little bit of a leeriness about that. But Spike could, you know, Spike's a world-class director. He could be directing Hunger Games Part 5 or, you know, but he's, you know, he's very committed to, you know, social justice. And he wanted to do some good.
And are you proud to be part of this? Are you honored to be a part of this Chi-Raq movie?
I really am excited. You know, first of all, I like working with Spike, but to be a, you know, a new Chicago resident to be picked to play the mayor of Chicago. I mean, I know it doesn't seem like such an honor this week, but but in general, you know, I can't wait. You know, when I played Shoeless Joe Jackson in Eight Men Out, I'd go to the cell and people would send me beers, and the vendor would say that from the people of the section over say Shoeless Joe doesn't pay for beer at the cell.
So that's because Sox fans are a lot more friendly than the Cubs fans.
I think it's true. I think and it costs you. You got to dig a little deeper if you live on the South Side. That $9 for a beer, I mean, that's a real gift.
Sure,
but that's I can't wait to see what I'm going to get now as the mayor of Chicago. I mean, I think I should. There's probably going to be a limo for me when
there
I go
will definitely
outside.
Be a limo for you.
Gibson's, I think, no longer charges me. I was looking over the various perks that I'm going to get.
You'll get some perks, and we've ordered a bus for you to throw people under because that happens a lot if you're the mayor.
I'm going to need that. I'm going to need that.
When you get a part, DB, all of a sudden you're cast as something, be it a baseball player or a mayor. What's your next move? What sort of research do you do?
Well, this is an interesting one because I thought if I'm being hired to be the mayor of Chicago, you know, I don't look a lot like Mayor Emanuel. That's not really the vibe I throw up. You'd hire another actor if you were trying to do that. So I thought, well, Spike's got me in mind. Maybe I'm kind of in the Daily family tree somewhere that I'm more of a, you know, I'd be a, kind of a man of the people, guy who loves Chicago. And
a regular guy.
Regular Joe. And so I started thinking that way and I started, you know, trying to think, well, how would he talk? You know, maybe he would talk a little bit more like, you know, he was a guy, had a job here, you know, he's a guy like that. And then I get on the set and I find out he's hired the most beautiful African-American woman to play my wife in the story. And I thought, well, that's an interesting nuance. I mean, that means this character, when he got elected, he probably went into the churches on the South Side. He probably had a little bit of street cred that he was able to, you know, not exactly be like Mayor de Blasio in New York, but a little bit, you know, that he could, I don't know, he knows the moves of a Father Flager or a Reverend Wright, or, you know, he knows some of those kind of cadences. So I changed the way I was talking, and it was kind of fun that Spike was whatever I wanted to do. He didn't say do whatever you want, but he was try whatever you want, and then he would hone it. So he's very collaborative that way.
That's really cool. We're talking to D.B. Sweeney, plays Mayor McLeod in Chi-Raq, opens theaters everywhere today. You can go to his website, dbsweeney.com. That's Sweeney, E-Y, at the end. We're going to take a quick break and be back. 312-981-7200. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. You know, you're going to need some cheap sunglasses today. That's the DJ and me coming out because it is so sunny. In fact, D.B. Sweeney is here in the Allstate Showcase studio, and the sun is coming through the window.
You're disrobing.
Put your shades on.
You're taking your clothes off.
I need some sunscreen. This is who knows Chicago in December.
Wendy just got a stack of singles. I don't know what's going to happen in here now, but you started taking your shirt off.
She's
got
to reciprocate. I ate the breasts. You know,
you didn't. My breasts are just sitting here. No one will have my breasts. You needed to listen to that.
Don't explain. Don't explain it.
I'm not. I know.
Not to explain it.
All right. D.B. Sweeney is in the studio with us. Again, just watching the Hawks game, and you do such a good job shooting the puck. We thought, you know, let's have him on. You live relatively close.
Yeah, I do. I moved here about a little less than 3 years ago. I have a son who's 14, a daughter who's 11, and, you know, I just wanted to get him out of L.A. And, you know, there's good things about L.A., but I don't know. I love the Midwest, and I've always loved coming to Chicago and visiting. I'm from New York, and I think I'm one of the only New Yorkers who's going to say that Chicago is better than New York by a mile.
Say that over and over again.
Yeah.
Just keep saying that.
I mean, New York's great if you got a gazillion dollars and you're an expert in everything, and you know, you want to win every argument. That's a great place to be. So, but Chicago, I love it. You know, as soon as the first week we came here, you know, I'd go to my son plays hockey, and we'd go to the rink, and all his teammates would come over and say, you know, to my wife, you know, hello, Mrs. Sweeney, and a different level of respect.
Sure.
And, you know, the Midwestern values are still holding. So that was our biggest reason for coming here. And also, I want to work in the Chicago theater. I mean, it's the best actor city in America. I mean, I don't care what L.A.
says. It is, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, Steppenwolf, there's no better theater. The Goodman. There's so many Victory Gardens.
Oh, it's on and on.
You know, and so, I haven't had a chance yet to do that because thankfully I've been really busy with movies and TV. But that was one of my goals, too, is to get involved in that scene here because, like Harry Lennox in Chi-Raq, I mean, there's no better actors than Chicago.
Yep.
Okay, so you say Chi-Raq, which we're talking about, opens in theaters today, and D.B. Sweeney plays Mayor McLeod. And what else do you have coming out? A couple of new things.
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited that this movie I did called Heist, it was called Bus 657, and that's the international title now, and it's called Heist. It's with Robert De Niro and Dave Bautista and Morris Chestnut.
Would we know Robert De Niro from, D.B.? What has he been in before?
You know what? I can't really remember. He's sort of
he's worked before.
In that movie called The Intern, I think, wasn't he?
Intern.
You'd know him best from that.
I believe so, and I think he carried Ben Stiller's bags a couple times.
Right.
I know who he is.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but he's... So, you know, I mean, this is one of those movies where the cast, it's a script that was rewritten by a friend of mine who was an Army veteran named Max Adams. And he called me up and said, I want you to be a part of this. And I said, great. And so we go down to Mobile, Alabama. And there's a lot of really great people from, you know, Gina Carano shows up and Harry, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Oh, wow.
And
oh,
so everybody wants to be in a movie with De Niro. So yeah. It's kind of a B movie that got wildly elevated. And then the director's this guy, Scott Mann, who I guarantee is going to be huge.
Big
He's
name
an English,
coming.
English guy, young guy. And he took this thing and just elevated it. So I'm the bus driver. They rip off De Niro's casino on a riverboat. Their getaway driver runs away because he's terrified of De Niro's henchmen, Morris Chestnut, and the other guys coming with machine guns.
Yeah.
And he takes, they have no getaway car, so they hijack a city bus, and yours truly is the bus driver.
Cool.
So it's really, it's a fun movie. It's like a popcorn movie. It's very different than Chirac. You know, it's just like a, it's kind of an entertaining movie that you may have seen something similar in the past, but it's so well done, and it's vintage De Niro. That's the surprising thing. I thought he was just walking through for a paycheck, and, you know, I want to get my picture made with him, and
not that guy. But is there ever a time, and maybe it's Robert De Niro, and maybe it's somebody else, that you, like, even for a split second, you go, I'm in a movie with Robert De Niro. Does that happen to you? Do you get a little intimidated ever?
You know, I had one scene I was supposed to be in with him, and it didn't end up getting filmed because they would have had to pay, I think they were paying him $1 million a day, and I would have had to pay him $3 million to wait and do that scene. Somebody did the math, and he got on a plane.
Wow.
And so I didn't get my scene with Robert De Niro, but yeah, I mean, I was excited to be with him. I mean, when I was with Robert Duvall in Lonesome Dove,
oh, yeah.
I remember daily looking across at him and thinking, I'm in a movie with Robert Duvall. And, you know, so I've been really blessed. And James Earl Jones in, in Gardens of Stone. And, you know, there's been, you know, Christopher Lloyd in Eight Men Out. You know, sort of like, you know, there's been guys that I've worked with where, yeah, I definitely have that moment. And that's when lunch is the best part of the day, when it's like, oh, I got to get there early so I can get a seat next to, you know, Robert
that's
Duvall.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, there's definitely, you know, working with your heroes. And I can't forget James Garner in Fire in the Sky. I mean,
isn't he great?
He was the greatest man. I mean, he just, he showed me and Robert Patrick and Peter Berg, and we'd go out and go golfing with him, and he was 70-some-odd years old, and he'd just kick our butt on the golf course and then pretend like he was lucky.
Really?
I mean, he's just such a gentleman, and people would come over and want to get their picture made with him, and he just... Yeah. And just everything about that guy was like, oh, man, that's a Hollywood I want to be a part of, is James Garner's Hollywood.
He was smooth over everything,
He really was.
So talented. What a great actor, and just a great, great man.
And the reason so many actors can survive today is because of James Garner, because he changed the laws when it came to repeats and reruns. He was the first one to say, hey, I need to get a cut of that. And then all of a sudden, after the segment, it's because of him.
Residuals and all that.
Yeah,
that's all based on him. Another reason to be grateful.
Yeah. All right, so Heist is currently video on demand, VOD.
Yeah, I got one more. Extraction with Bruce Willis comes out December 18th, and that's a CIA movie. It's like Taken Light, and you know, Kellan Lutz is in it, and again, Gina Carano's in that one. And, you know, it's another one of these popcorn movies, and, you know, I guess you'd call it a B movie we're trying to elevate. And, you know, Bruce Willis, it's fun to be in a movie with him. I play his best friend, and, you know, I got some secrets in my character, so it's a good role, and I haven't seen the movie yet, but I hope it turned out good. The director did a great job.
And when's that coming out?
December 18th.
Wow, you've got all this stuff happening.
Yeah, it's a busy Christmas season. So,
you deserve it.
Santa's going to be good to your family.
I hope so.
Great to finally see you. Great to meet you. Continued success. Chirac, as we pointed out, is in theaters starting today, and several other movies coming down the pike, all the ones you just mentioned. DB, keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, come visit us anytime. We'll set up a little shoot the puck for you here.